Now, as I said, tomorrow is the official launch of A Page My Life, and a minimum of €3 from the sale of every copy of the book will be going to Laura Lynn. So we decided we'd get Jane McKenna on the line just to remind ourselves about the great work that Laura Lynn do. Good afternoon, Jane.
Hi, Ray. Lovely to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you. You wrote a lovely piece for the book about the opening of Laura Lynn back in September 2011.
Yeah.
Well, what do you remember about the day?
Well, I suppose I remember everything, really. It was just, it was amazing. I suppose it was, we were just fascinated to have got to that point, you know, after all the years of the hard work that went into trying to get there to build Laura Lynn House. And I suppose it was exciting. And as I said, I think in the piece, I was a little bit nervous as well, with President McAleese being there, of course.
Yeah.
And known, I had to say my own few words. I'm always a little bit nervous, as I am now too. But you know, it was a bit daunting, and all of that, and the amount of people that were there, of course. But it was beautiful, and the day was, gosh, it was amazing. The sunshine, and we kind of put that down to the girls and a few others.
Yeah,
and it was out of that.
And you headed a legacy of choice and kindness, and the choice refers to the fact that you want to give families who have very sick children a choice as to how they spend their last days and weeks and months.
Yeah, really, I suppose, I think I said it in my own book, when I started out on the research, it was really, you know, looking at the end, because I think a lot of people would know that Lynn's kind of one of her greatest and last wishes was to die here peacefully at home and not in Our Lady's Hospital where she went through her treatment. She loved them, and we were very grateful for everything they did for both her girls, as I think we've often said. But, you know, I suppose we'd all agree that home or hospice, you know, if not hospital, if possible, if when you're dying. And that was her own wish. And, you know, we prayed and hoped she'd get it. And she did, thankfully. She died here and very peacefully after a lovely couple of weeks, an amazing couple of weeks up to her death. But I suppose when I set on the road then, it was really her that put me on that road, because I thought about that there was no hospice for children. I didn't know. I wasn't sure, but obviously there wasn't. And I did the research, literally England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. I kind of went to see quite a few hospices. And I suppose what I saw then was, it was about life. It was about, you know, children with very complicated illnesses and, you know, all of that, the children that go to Laura Lynn, and just how much it meant to the families, the respite, the care, you know, everything about it. It, you know, it wasn't about the death, but there was that choice at the end.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was amazed myself that I didn't think of that. I was more thinking of the end. But really, when I saw how amazing the whole thing was, that I was more determined than ever, you know, that we should have one.
And you say of Lynn in the piece, at 15, knowing she was dying, she lived every moment and left us the most precious memories and encouragement, not just to carry on, but to live.
Yeah, exactly. She really did live those last, because she got almost 3 weeks. Now, she knew it was always the way with Lynn. She wanted to know, and her consultant, Ingsel Markey, was wonderful. He, you know, she had a good relationship with him, but she wanted everything to be straight. She was able to do that. It's not every child or every young person that can or would want to, but she did.
Yeah.
So she knew that she was dying. She didn't know how long, was one of the questions she asked Ingsel, how long have I got? And he couldn't say, really. But, you know, we knew it wouldn't be that long, and she knew that. And she just was determined. And we had a wonderful time, and people were amazing in what they did for us. Those memories are just, you know, they really are. When I'm down, or when you really get down, or when, you know, the bad days come, you think of those, and they actually lift you. Yeah. She really lived every minute, literally, for 2 weeks. And then she still, you know, she still, even that last week, she, you know, she organised her funeral. She did all of the things that you could never imagine. I mean, I still don't know how she had the strength at 15, but she did, and she was amazing.
Yeah. And when you were chatting to her and she knew she was dying, did you talk about her legacy? Did you talk about keeping her memory alive?
We didn't really.
No.
The one thing she talked about, and she probably talked more to Kieran, who was the priest, who was a kind of a friend of ours as well. She asked for him. Now, Lynn wouldn't have been particularly religious at all, but she wanted Kieran. She liked Kieran. He would be a little bit different to the norm. And, you know, she asked for him to come over a few times, and without breaking any kind of, you know, secrets or anything. He did say that her one concern was that we would live. And that was the one thing she said to us. The day she was told she was going to die, we came home here. And I said, I wish I could take your place. And I, of course, I meant that. Yeah. But I knew I couldn't. And she just said, it's okay, Mum. You and Dad need to get on with life.
Yeah.
And that was her main concern.
And the achievement of you and Brendan, and how much did you have to raise to open Laura Lynn?
Well, I suppose in my early years before we merged with Children's Sunshine Home, I raised amazingly. And I mean, that was with the help of thousands of people and friends and everybody. Probably about 4.5 million or close to 5. And I mean, I was amazed by that. I got one donation of almost 1 million, and that again came through Lynn in a strange way, but it's a long story.
Right.
But so I think, I can't remember the exact.
So you say it came through Lynn, as in?
Almost 1 million, yeah. Right. It was through one of the doctors in the hospital.
Right,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was just one of those things. It was a legacy that somebody had left behind, and it was given. I remember the check coming in, right? The check came in the door, because at that time I was still kind of working on my own. I think we had started the connection with Children's Sunshine Home. And this check came in the door. Actually, it was way back. It was even earlier. I don't think we had the connection. And I had raised about 500,000. And I got the call from this doctor, if he's listening, he'll know who he is. And he just said, you know, I've been following kind of what you're set up to do. And he said, do you mind me asking him what you've raised? And I think it was near 500,000 at that stage. And he said, well, I there's something that I think I'll be able to help with, which is a lot more than that. And I just couldn't believe it. And when the check came in, it was just a little under 1 million. I'll never forget it. It was amazing.
That's in through the letterbox, and you open an envelope.
In through my letterbox, yeah. So, I mean, that was just fascinating. So that added, obviously, to make it a big thing. But it was, and that was, as I say, in a kind of way, truly, and because this particular doctor, he was young, and he was still in his years of training. And I remember saying to Lynn at one stage, gosh, if I was only 10 years younger, and she said, yes, and another 20 with that. Quite annoyed. And I think she was thinking, if I was only a few years older, she wasn't that much younger than him. He had said it to me. I've spoken to him since. And actually, I was in touch with him. We were to meet just when this COVID started. He's back here in Ireland.
Right.
But he said to me, there's a photograph of him and Lynn that we have downstairs. And I had sent him a copy of it when he was in the States. And he said, when I look at that photo, how did anybody take me seriously as a doctor? Because, I mean, he doesn't look much older than her.
It was
wonderful.
And of course, what people forget is, you know, the bricks and mortar is only the start of something like this. It's keeping it open is the big challenge, isn't it?
Yes, because you
have to return to the trough over and over again to fundraise with the same people often, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people, yes, who have been with us from the start and still with us. And then the amazing amount of people that, you know, have come on board and are there. And just fantastic. We couldn't do it without them.
And the respite that families get at Laura Lynn is just amazing. Because just to remind people, there's accommodation up there. There's all the facilities of, you know, a top class hospital, but it doesn't feel like a hospital in any way, shape, or form.
No,
there's sort of there's joy there, which
exactly. It's home from home, and you know, there's 8 children's rooms. You can't. I remember people saying way back, you know, could you not have more than 8? Say, but then it becomes you kind of lose that home from home. That's why it can't be too big either. Yeah. But the sitting room, the whole thing, you know, it's very, very much like their own home, and it is their other home from home. Hmm. You know, and you've been there, so you know it's just lovely. It's a lovely atmosphere.
It's amazing. In all the emails we got from the 150 contributors to the book, they all are so chuffed and delighted that the book is benefiting Laura Lynn. It's a cause that touches everybody. People with children, people without children, old people, young people.
People. are amazing. Yeah, they're very kind. And yeah, there is a huge kindness there, and we're delighted. And thanks so much to those people. Yeah. I've gotten the book, and I've read, I haven't read all the stories, obviously, yet, but I've gotten read quite a few, and two, I actually know connections to them. It's really Small World again.
Right. Yeah. And it's when we were talking to the four judges at the start, and they were giving people pointers, and they mentioned detail. Detail's always very good. And there's lovely detail in your piece, because yourself, the president at the time, Mary McAleese, and Miriam O'Callaghan all arrived to the opening of Laura Lynn in red.
Yeah,
and it wasn't planned.
No, and somebody told me that red is, well, I didn't even know, maybe they did, I don't know, but, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's colour women wear it to, what's the word I'm looking for, kind of a strong colour or something,
right.
You know, that wasn't, somebody actually gave me a gift of what I was wearing, so, but no, it wasn't planned, but it was strange, yeah.
All in red, yeah, and some
so
people were probably remarking, isn't it great the way they planned it now, the three of them there in red?
Probably, yeah. And it wasn't that at all. But no, it was a lovely day, and I have to say, Mary McAleese was lovely. She had, had a kind of a connection again through that priest, Kieran Dunn, because obviously she was the president, and we live just up here in Blanchestown, and I think they went to Mass in different areas, and it was kind of our turn, so Kieran had a connection with her, Kieran Dunn, the priest. And I remember him saying to me when Lynn was in Lynn's last week, he said, you might have a visit from the president. And I said, what? And I was thinking of the house and everything. Yeah, she can't get in here. But anyway, we didn't have the visit, but she sent a beautiful flower, a beautiful Easter flower, because it was around Easter when Lynn died, and a beautiful card. I still have the card, and the words on the card, a handwritten card, and it was absolutely just wonderful to receive. And Lynn, you know, can imagine how much that meant to Lynn.
Yeah, wonderful. Isn't that very Irish of you? The first thing you thought of was, oh, we can't let her into this house.
This little house.
Brendan, we'll have to redo the whole thing.
Have to get the house revamped.
Yeah, get Dermot Bannon on the phone there. How is Brendan?
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's gone off for a walk. You know him and these things. He stays very much in the background of everything.
Yeah.
But, no, he's fine. I suppose, like that, he's retired nearly 3 years now. And, you know, and even myself, because I've pulled back, as you know, somewhat. It's just life isn't, nothing has changed that much for us other than for me more so even, you know, the going out. I miss the theatre and the cinemas and the going out to friends. And, you know, he does to a degree, obviously, as well. But otherwise, I mean, we really do count ourselves lucky in a lot of ways, you know, because there are so many in such a bad place, I've no doubt.
Yeah. And would Laura be 25 this year?
Laura would have been 25 in January, and Lynn would be 34. She would have been 34 in March. So it's hard to believe it's all those years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say it's different as the years go on, but, you know, the loss is still the same. It's just that awful pain in the early stages eases. Well, you can only talk for yourself, really, because everyone's different, but it has for me. But there are times, and I suppose, the birthdays, the anniversaries, and because there's two of everything for us to do, there are the times, and it's often the week coming up to it, not the date itself, maybe, or it's hard to explain.
Yes.
I mean, I just wonder all the time, you know, any time, especially at those occasions, you think, what might have been?
Yeah.
You know, and I see friends of Lynn, friends that have children and grandchildren. We'll never have that. We might never have had it anyway, but we'll never know, you know. So there is, And
but
anybody who's lost a child, that's the way it is.
But what an amazing legacy. And I know I say this to you every time, but, you know, it's worth repeating that Laura Lynn and the services they've provided to families over the last 9 years, and will continue to provide, depending on the generosity of people, of course, into the future. It's just an amazing legacy for Laura and Lynn.
Well, I'm just so glad it's there for everybody because, as you know, I know some of the families, more the past families who I keep in touch with, and I don't know all the families there. I know of them, and I know one in particular I was only talking to today, and, you know, I know what it means to them, and I'm so glad that, you know, they have some support, because I often said, while our girls, you know, we had a little bit of 24-hour care, but, you know, they had a life in between. Laura had a couple of good years, and Lynn had 13 years of good health, and even then they still had, you know, good days, And we're very grateful for that, you know. Mm. But when I see, and I have seen, the 24-hour care, it is so tough. So just to have any support around that, and I think it means so much, you know. So that in turn gives me a huge lift. I'm delighted for them. And I just want families to know that we think about them all the time. Everybody in Norlin does, obviously, but myself and Brandon in particular, and especially in these times.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Aisling and Jack McNiff, Benanto was there. We are also indebted to the McKenna family. My son Jack attends Hazel House in Laura Lynn for a respite. It's a home away from home. He loves going in. And he's off there tomorrow for 2 nights. For 6 months of lockdown, we couldn't go, but since September, he has been able to attend again. The sport means the world to our family. Thank you, Jane and Brendan. Laura and Lynn left a wonderful legacy. And then Sarah Gibson has been on. Can you thank Jane McKenna for speaking on your show today? I always start crying when I talk to you. I'm sorry. On behalf of Martin Gibson O'Gara and all the children that go to Laura Lynn Children's Hospice, we're so grateful to Jane for setting up Laura Lynn and her endless dedication to Laura Lynn Children's Hospice. It's like a second home to Martin and all the children that go there. We can never thank Jane enough, and everyone at Laura Lynn, and the kindness of Irish people and the volunteers too. That's Sarah Gibson. And we donate a little to Laura Lynn from time to time. Our daughter Sarah died at age 3 from cancer in 1998. The end was tough. What we wouldn't have given for this wonderful service. Well done. That's Anna and Brian and Leash. And Laura Lynn has changed the life of my nephew, Evan Swain, and his family. He absolutely loves going there. Thanks to everyone there. That's Catherine Carty. So there you go.
Thank you so much, Evan. Yeah, well, thanks. Okay. Thanks.
Well, send our best wishes to Brendan and mind yourself. And
I will. And Ray, just before I go, could I just say a few little thanks?
Yeah, of course, of course.
It'll only take about a minute.
Yeah, okay.
I just want to say huge thanks again to all our supporters, you know, big or small or whatever. Like, it wouldn't be there without them, and it wouldn't remain without them. So thank you. And, you know, I never mention specifics because we'd be here for about a month or more, probably 6 months. And just want to say thanks and remembering the staff as well. They're all working, as you know, doing their best in whatever way they can do it now. So they're so good, especially the ones working with the precious little ones. And I have to give a shout out to the fundraising team again, you know, so they're wonderful. And they're, you know, it's a tough job now trying to work around stuff, but they've been wonderful and amazing. And just as I said, remembering the families. And I just want to say the thanks, of course, to HarperCollins and all of the people there and the story writers, as I said. And finally, and last but not least, yourself and Jenny for being true friends to Laura Lynn, more so than anything else. But you're a great ambassador as well, Ray, and thank you so much. And support is wonderful. You've done a lot. And your colleagues, some of your colleagues in RTE, I just want to say thanks for that too, because it means the world and we couldn't do it. And I know all the charities are, you know, in a bad way.
Yeah.
But, and I hope that
it's a tough time. It's a tough time. Yeah. Okay.
So thank you so much for the future in particular. You know, I think it's the future and the unknown for us all in everything.
Yeah.
You know, but we hope I'm sure we will keep going because people are wonderful.
I'm sure it will. Well, if it's anything to do with you and Brendan, it'll keep going anyway. Thanks, Jane. Mind yourself. Okay.
Take
bye
care.
Now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.